The next kinna asks the question. It starts off with Eich Tanchumuni. How can we be consoled? We had a first base of Mikdash destroyed. It's really asking about the second base of Mikdash. Why? Because the first one, after the first one, we had a second one. Now here we are. 2022. Still no Beis HaMikdash. How? How can we be consoled? Now it's a difficult question because, as basically everybody's been saying, we don't necessarily feel the pain. We don't really know what pain to feel, and we definitely don't feel the pain we're supposed to be feeling. Very often, person has the problems with parnasa. Person may not have friends. Maybe there's somebody they know that's not feeling well. And they just say, I wish we'd have a Beis HaMikdash. I wish we could have Mashiach coming. Is that really what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash? Just to get our inconveniences taken care of? Or is it something so much deeper? How do we console? A person goes to a shiva. When you console a person, what they want to hear is, when you see them light up. Sometimes when you go to a shiva, sometimes you'll see the person light up. And the time you see them light up is when you tell them a story about their parent, or whoever it is that they're sitting shiva for. When they tell you the story, I got to tell you this story. Because consoling a person, or sending condolences, is not just enough just to send your condolences. It's about realizing that they'll be remembered. It's about realizing that you'll take something with them, from them, with you for the rest of your life. That's what it means. That's what to console is. Eich, how? I think we're all wondering that question, but we have to first figure out what is the Beis HaMikdash. How do we feel consoled? We have to take something with us. What is the lesson? What is the lesson of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that we're supposed to take with us? Because if we can't take the lesson of the destruction, and how are we going to build on it? So I think we have to understand, what does it mean, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And what was the lesson the Ribbono Shel Olam was sending us with all this destruction that we've been hearing about, that we've been reading about? Heard a mashal of a guy who was a painter. The end of his life, the end of his career maybe, he decides he's going to paint the most beautiful painting. He goes on top of a mountain. And he's there, up there on top of the mountain for weeks. Every day, finding that right here, he's on the mountain, there's water in the backdrop, he's got a couple of clouds, he's got the sunset. And every day, he would try to draw that sunset. And he'd wait there all day, drawing everything else, and then at the end of the day, he would get that sunset. Finally, after a few weeks of drawing, and he's been all day, he had a partner with him that would bring him food, that would help him if he needed anything. At the end, he finally finished. And he sees his painting. He decides, I want to see it from a different angle. Takes a step back, just to get a better angle. And he takes another step back. And he's so focused. He's so focused in his painting. He keeps taking steps back. Finally, the guy sees he's about to step off the back. He's about to step off the cliff. He's screaming at him, stop! Stop! Laser focused. You know how sometimes we're laser focused? And we just don't hear anything around us. And he's yelling at him. The guy's so focused, takes another step back. He's about to step off. His friend runs over to his painting, which he'd been painting all day and all night for 2 weeks. For weeks. He takes a knife and he slashes the painting. And the guy's like, what did you just do? What is that? What? And he says, turn around. And he sees right by him. He's about to step off. The Ribbono Shel Olam was yelling at us. He had Nevi'im yelling at us. For years. And the Jewish people just weren't listening. The Ribbono Shel Olam, by destroying the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't a punishment of, this is what you did, so therefore I'm going to smack you. It was a wake-up call. Wake up! Wake up! Yidden, what are you doing? We've all heard this before, but the word, we know the most famous word of Tisha B'Av has got to be either Chorban maybe, or Eicha. Eicha. Constantly. Just right now, we're about to start with Eich. Eicha. We see if you read the letters a little bit differently, I'm sure you've heard this before. It's Ayeka, where are you? After Adam Arishon sinned, the Ribbono Shel Olam screams out. Screams out. Ayeka, where are you? What does it mean, where are you? Hashem knows exactly where they are. You're not hiding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something like hide and seek here. It's Ayeka, where are you in your life? What are you doing with your life? Are you on the right path? Are you going in the right direction? Are you really becoming the best version of yourself? That's what we're asking after a Tisha B'Av. After a Tisha B'Av, we have to ask ourselves. And we really have to ask ourselves really in a few days from now. Are we different? Where are we? Ayeka, where are you? My kids told me this mashal, which I've heard before. I have my daughter that's 8 years old told me this mashal. We probably all heard it. And it's a true story. It never happened. But it's definitely a very true story for all of us. Which is, the Chafetz Chaim tells over a story. Which many of you have heard this. Chafetz Chaim tells over a story of a man who's very poor. And he had to travel. He had to travel to go make a parnasa. He was going to leave to travel, and he heard right beforehand, he had heard, there was a land. There was a land which, everywhere you go, there's diamonds everywhere you go. There are diamonds everywhere you go. He hears about it, he's like, I gotta go. I'm marrying off kids soon. I have nothing. My wife is, we're suffering. I gotta try. Is it true? I don't know, but I gotta try. He goes, and Chafetz Chaim says, he gets there, and it's true, everywhere he goes, there are diamonds. Diamonds everywhere, everywhere he goes. He picks up a few diamonds, put them in his pocket, then he realizes, wait, I'm going to be here for a few years now. My wife sent me out, I'm getting picked up in a few years from now. I have time, you know what, let me just first get something to eat, I'm starving. Goes to the pizza store. He goes to pay. He asks for a slice of pizza. Goes into his pocket. Takes out a diamond. He's like, keep the change. The guy's looking at him. What? What are you doing? Give me money. So what are you talking about? He's like, I just gave you a diamond. And the story goes, I'll make it short. And the story goes, the Chafetz Chaim says, that this guy, that he said to him, what's the currency in our community? Everybody has their own versions. Everybody has their own version. The version that I was told, my kids told me, it's chicken fat. That's our currency. You can't get chicken fat anywhere. Give me some chicken fat. Chicken fat? What are you talking about? Diamond. He said, diamonds are dirt. It's everywhere you go. Diamonds. I don't need any diamonds. And basically, this guy finally was able to find somebody who lent him some chicken fat, and he paid him. Story goes, the guy was there for a few years. He built a business. He built himself a monstrosity, an empire. After being there for a few years, he comes finally. He writes home to his wife. He's coming home. He's made it. It was true. Everything. On his way home, he comes back. He gets back to the port on his boat, gets there. His wife's waiting. The whole community is waiting. See if it's true. He comes back. Bags and bags. Everybody's so excited. Funny smell over there. He came back with bags and bags filled with chicken fat. And his wife was like, what? Are you kidding me? He's like, what do you mean? I'm wealthy. She's like, what about the diamonds? Diamonds? Who needs diamonds? Diamonds? Are you kidding me? His wife's going to kill him. He finally realizes what just happened. He's like, oh my gosh. He faints on the spot. He wakes up, goes into his pocket, whatever, and he remembered he had a little bit in one of his pockets. He goes into his pocket. He found a couple of crumbs of diamonds. It ended up getting him through. He was able to marry off his kids. Chafetz Chaim says that's every one of us in our lives. We're in this world. We're put in this world. We have a goal. We have diamonds. Baruch Shalom says, bring back all these diamonds. Change yourselves. Make yourselves better. Torah, mitzvos. Bring it back with you. And we all leave, and we come to this world, and we're ready. And as little kids, we all remember what it was like as a little child, as a kid. We even remember what it was like when we first put on tefillin. We were excited before we put on tefillin. We were excited. We used to speak about the Beis Hamikdash like it meant something when you were a kid. And as we get older, we get caught up. We get caught up. And little by little, we forget, Ayeka, where are we? We forget. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ayeka, where are you? Tisha B'Av is about remembering. Tisha B'Av is not just a day. Tisha B'Av is not just a day of mourning. It's definitely a day of mourning, but it's a day of tshuva. It's a day to wake us up. Where are we? Where are we going? What are we doing? Is the first thing we do when we wake up to look at sport and look at the sports scores? When we hear about missiles, do we see, oh wow, does anybody have a video of that? Anybody have a video of that missile I could send to my friends? What is it? What are we doing? Where are we going? What's important to us? Is the first thing when you wake up in the morning, somebody, you know, a couple guys said to me, what's going to be with sports this week? Are we going to have sports this week? Come on, where are you? What are you doing? Are you thinking about Klal Yisrael? Are you thinking about Torah and mitzvahs? What are we doing with our lives? When I was a kid, I used to go to a game. Every time you went to a game, especially when on Pesach, it was like the worst. You go to a game, and you bring with yourself like matzah and cream cheese to a game. I remember going to a Devil's Ranger game with my uncle. It was like such a special thing. I still remember it. I remember it vividly in my mind. It was matzah and cream cheese, and we brought with us like oranges and whatever. Nowadays, you go to a game, you have the kosher stand. Everybody knows the guy who runs the kosher stand. You get free food even. Nobody even pays for it anymore. Everybody knows the guy. You go to a game, you have everything you want at a game. There's a little bit of us that's... And don't take this the wrong way, but we're like kosher goyim. We're trying to live a different life. We're just doing it in a kosher way. We love to be living like them, living like the rest of the world. But we forget why we're really here. Ayeka, where are we? Echa yashva badar. It says that we sit. The Yerushalayim is sitting alone in bidud. Terrible thing. Sounds like sitting alone sounds like a really bad thing. But we know the Jewish people, Bilam refers to us as a nation that sits badar. A Jewish people sits alone. That's what we do. It sounds like it's a good thing. Separate from the Goyim. There's two types of sitting alone out there. There's a person who's alone. He's by himself. Has nothing. Loneliness. A bidud of loneliness. And then there's the person. When you get married. When you get married, you go on a honeymoon. You have your Shana Rishona. What do you do your Shana Rishona? You just sit, you and your wife. Alone. By yourselves. There's two types of being alone. There's one which is alone, but you're lonely. And there's one which is you're alone, but you're the happiest person in the world. Yashva Badad, we were sitting alone. Sitting lonely. That's what Yerushalayim is. Yerushalayim is sitting lonely. Not having all the karbanos, not having everybody run to do the Torah, to the mitzvahs. There was nobody there, there's nothing. Or we can be alone, but with Hashem. That's the alone we're looking for. Don't forget, Rabosai, Ayeka. Where are we? Where are we going? This kinah we're going to read. How can we be consoled? The way to be consoled is when we remember what it represented. When you could take a lesson of that person, that person is sitting shiva, you could give them, if they could just give you a piece of that person that they know it's always remembered. Let's take with us. Ayaka, where are we?